ABC Radio Australia.
Pacific Island leaders have signed a new security agreement which calls climate change the single greatest threat to the people of the Pacific. The Boy Declaration, named after the place where it was signed in Nauru, makes it clear that Pacific nations want Australia to do more to cut its carbon emissions. But there was plenty of late wrangling over the issue of climate change, with Australia reportedly pushing back against some of the stronger language used by Pacific leaders. Now, our Pacific Affairs reporter Stephen Jedgetts has been taking a close look at what happened. Stephen, what have Pacific leaders called for in this Boy Declaration and in the communique they released after their leaders' retreat at the Pacific Islands Forum?
Well, Catherine, there's some pretty strong language here in the communique about climate change. As expected, the leaders, as you mentioned, have signed the Boy Declaration that does reaffirm that climate change remains the greatest single threat to livelihood, security and well-being of peoples of the Pacific. That was the language that was in the draft communique. It's now in the final one. It's been formally ratified by Pacific Island leaders. In the communique, there's also some pretty strong language about upcoming negotiations. They said in the communique that they called on countries, particularly large emissions, to fully implement their mitigation targets. In other words, the targets under Paris to cut emissions in line with committed timeframes. And interestingly, there's also a call from leaders of Forum Island countries, which seems on the face of it be code for all the nations other than Australia and New Zealand, a call from them on the United States to return to the Paris Agreement on climate change. Of course, the Trump administration has pulled out of Paris, causing some dismay across the Pacific. All in all, this is a pretty strong statement, Catherine, from Pacific leaders that they see climate change as their number one priority and that they believe that developed nations like Australia and the US have a moral responsibility to step up and to cut carbon pollution. Let's have a listen to the Prime Minister of Tuvalu, Anele Sopoanga, who was talking to a reporter who asked him whether his country could simply look at relocation. He gave a pretty strong rebuttal to that. He said no. There was an obligation on other nations to help his nation get through climate change.
There is no way these countries are going to leave Tuvalu or Kiribati or Marshall Island. This is a daft idea. Forget about going with defeatist approach, because we need to send powerful signals, do the right thing, reduce emissions and get the money for these countries to adapt.
That's the Prime Minister of Tuvalu, Anele Sopoanga, there. Well, Stephen, as we've mentioned, it took a long time for the leaders to emerge after yesterday's discussions. Do we know exactly what the objections raised by Australia were that seemed to hold everything up?
No, we don't know exactly what they were, but there was a reference in the final communique to the decisions of the 28 smaller island states leaders meeting, and it was made pretty clear by the people at the press conference, including the Prime Minister of Tuvalu and the leader of Nauru, that Australia had some objections to the whole Pacific Islands Forum adopting all of the decisions of the smaller island states. Now, I don't know exactly what Australia's objections were about climate change. I think we can probably take an urgent guess, though, at some of the language in that smaller island states leaders meeting that might have raised concerns. In that declaration, there's some pretty stark language. Leaders, it says, calls on all Pacific Island Forum members and members of the international community to urgently accelerate their achievements of greenhouse gas reductions. Now, of course, in Australia, the domestic political debate isn't about urgently increasing ambition. It's whether we simply keep to our Paris commitments full stop. So obviously, I think it's fair to assume that Australia may well have objected to that call for an urgent acceleration of ambition. It's politically impossible for Maurice Payne to agree to that right now.
Now, meanwhile, Nauru's president, who has been playing host this week, is still smarting, it seems, about his diplomatic stoush with a Chinese diplomat earlier in the week. What did he have to say on that in the final press conference last night?
Yes, a parting shot to China from Baron Wonga, who's evidently still angry about this diplomatic spat with a Chinese diplomat earlier in the week. This, of course, was happening during a meeting of partner countries. China's representative at the meeting wanted to speak on climate change protocol. Baron Wonga said dictated that he keep silent, wait his turn. It was time, he said, for prime ministers and presidents to speak, not officials. And he was quickly shut down. The Chinese diplomat then essentially pointed pointedly walked out of the room. Some say he stormed out of the room to show his disapproval. Baron Wonga really laid into this diplomat at the final press conference. He said the behaviour was a disgrace. And he said that Nauru and potentially even the Pacific forums would do more than complain. He said they'd look at taking it to the UN. Exactly what shape of this submission's going to take isn't clear. But a clearly angry Baron Wonga was determined to make his point. Let's have a listen.
Their behaviour in front of all those leaders, would he behave like that in front of his own president? I doubt it. You look at him, he's a nobody. We will go further than that, I tell you. We won't just seek an apology, we'll even take it up to the UN.
Now, Catherine, of course, what this whole episode underlined were the tensions that are still caused in the Pacific up to this day by the contest between China and Taiwan when it comes to the Pacific. Many countries in the Pacific, including Nauru, are allies of Taiwan. They recognise Taiwan. And China has been doing its best to pick them off one by one. I guess Baron Wonga's signalling that at least for the moment, Nauru has got no interest in joining in Beijing's column. They're remaining, for the moment, firmly on Taiwan's side.